I will always be a hill for you. Through me, all things are possible. If I could bow our heads and pray for this offering. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day you bless upon us. Lord, thank you for bringing us to your house and lending us to your world. Lord, just fill our hearts and hold our souls, Lord. Make them where they're impossible to grab but for you, Lord. We are your vessels. Let us keep walking the path you desired for us. Bless the hands that have offered and the ones that didn't. Bless them tenfold, Lord. Just be with all of us and keep us in good graces. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. See, even the speaker's got to shout. Amen. How is everybody doing this morning? Are you blessed? Hallelujah. This morning I'm going to give you just the shortest and the third, well, it's the third portion of our series that we're teaching on Ezekiel's Wheel. But I'm probably going to give you the shortest sermon that you ever heard me preach. What are y'all laughing for? I thank God that God sent a prophet into our midst on last Friday. He and some associates came in and ministered to me and ministered before this altar. They blessed my soul. And this morning, I want to minister to you just a little minute. My little minute. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. When you find that passage of scripture, if you will please stand to your feet. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your kindness. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and bind together with one another today so that we could be filled with your anointing, filled with your strength for the days ahead. And Father, we're asking you, dear God, that every agenda of man be laid aside and that your Holy Spirit be present in this place to do according to your will and to say only words that are spoken in heaven and preordained in this sanctuary. In the precious name of Jesus, let the house shout.
Yeah.
Was that louder than me? Shout! There you go. All right. Normally we step out of our seats, but today we're just going to turn around, shake hands with two or three people. Tell everybody, I'm so glad that you're here at Deliverance Tabernacle. Amen. There are two questions that are the hardest for any pastor to tackle, and they hate it the minute that it comes out of somebody's mouth because we're always stuttering and looking for the answer that God would have us to speak because we know that there is a right answer. And I have been challenged with these two questions so many times over the course of my 39 years in ministry that I had to do something to figure out the right answer and the godly answer. The first question I'm not really going to address today. Those of you that have ever been in my ministry for any length of time, you know the answer to this one. Why does God allow evil? It's a hard one. Little babies starved to death in Africa. Violence is in our street. And we see violence and pain on a daily basis. The second question I am going to address today, if God is all-knowing, and we are convinced he is, let the house shout amen. Amen. Why did he bring Adam into the world knowing that he would fail and then condemn him to hell if he didn't make it right? That's a hard question. Is it not? That is a hard question. Well, when I was studying for the book that's going to come out somewhere by the end of this year, God began to show me something, and he began to give me the answer, I believe, with all of my heart to this question. Let me say that question again. If God is all-knowing, and we know that he is, right? We know he is. Why did he bring Adam into the world knowing he would fail? That's to me, that was the hardest of question of all. And very simply put, I'm going to say to you, God was in labor. God had been so impregnated by himself that the time had come and the time was to be fulfilled when fruit and something was going to come forth from him. And he began to feel the throes of labor upon him. And he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the fruit was going to come forth. And he felt the pressure and he felt whatever it was. I don't know that he felt pain, but he felt it and it was coming. And for those of you women that know what labor is all about, there's no way that you can stop it. The water bag began to burst, and he knew that the time was at hand. And he looked out into forever, and he saw something. He saw something that caused him to try to constrain himself. He saw something, and that something that he saw was Adam's failure. He saw Adam succumb to the words of the serpent in the garden. The pain, the pressure began to come harder. The water and the blood began to issue forth. And he saw it. He knew that we were going to fail. He knew that man was going to fail. He knew it. Amen. Amen. But the baby was getting ready to crown. The fruit was getting ready to gush forth. And there was no way to stop it. And he searched through heaven to find one that was worthy. And he found one. The living Lamb of God. And according to the book of Revelations, I'm not as good as the prophet over here. I have to write my stuff down. According to Revelations 13 and 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You see, the Lamb was slain before Adam ever came into this world because God made provision for man to turn himself around. God made provision for him to be redeemed, but he was absolutely huge with an impregnation and an expectation that fruit was going to come forth from his loins, and that fruit was going to be after the likeness of his Godhead, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah. And that means that something had to be done before it ever came. And the pain, the pressure began to come harder and harder and harder. And he spoke, and the universe set itself in order, and it set itself in place, because he had to prepare a place for this fruit to dwell. And the pain kept coming, and it kept coming. And I don't know if it was pain like we have, but whatever the travail was, it was coming. The fullness of time was then, and it was coming. And the Lamb was slain, and the blood was shed, and it took 4,000 years for that to leave the throne of grace and to run and to fight and to battle through the war in the heavenlies to manifest on earth. And God knew that it would take time. So he established the religion of Judah to teach them everything. We were going to happen because we are the fruit of God's impregnation of himself. He knew it. He saw it. And he didn't just sit on his throne. He did something. He did something that would make all of the difference in the world. Now he tells us to bring forth spiritual fruit that is worthy of the redemption that he poured out in us. You see, it wasn't enough for the thorns to be pierced into his head and little drops of blood to come out. It wasn't enough for his back to be beaten to the point that huge chunks of flesh began to rip away from his back. That was not enough. It wasn't enough for his heart to burst inside of him and the blood and the water to puddle up. It was not enough. It had to issue forth. It had to spill out on the ground. It had to spill out on mankind, because every level of the curse had to be touched by the blood. And he knew. He knew. God knew. The Son knew before he ever agreed. He knew what it would look like. He knew what was needed in order to offer redemption to you and to me. He blessed you with his free will so you could be the greatest part of who he was. Adam was coming. And the very thing that made us the greatest part of who God is, his free will, caused us to fall. Adam's sin would separate him from God. And God knew it. The essence of God knowing is the gifting of the prophetic in the world today. That is the gifting of prophetic that God wants you to experience today. 12-minute message, September 18, 2016. Mark it down.